flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
305 DGS and Camo X. Phoebe is wheels up back to KU.
Breakover, huh?
Breakover. Boy, they get a long break.
That's what I loved about college.
That's too long of a break for me to feel bad about her.
I didn't get any of that. Like, I went to SIU, which was a college, still is, but we got like high school. We got the breaks just like high schools. We didn't get off from like the 10th of December until the 20th of January. Plus, if we did, I was living with my mom and dad and working at Mr. Donut. So,
yeah, we didn't get this long. Well, I'm trying to remember exactly because, you know, exams were always like the week or two after Thanksgiving, if I remember correctly. And then you'd go back. But we had to be back for baseball like January 2nd. Like, it was time to get going. So when I don't even remember when class started, but we were there usually four.
That would be fun.
Oh, it was great.
To be there.
Be on campus.
Just doing that.
And you're the only ones there, and yeah. All you're doing is baseball stuff. Although you're also at that time doing two-a-days. I know it's not like football two-a-days, mm-hmm. But, you know, you're getting up in the morning, and they're like,
still
okay.
Miami.
They're like, guess what? We're going to run stadium stairs at 6 a.m., and then we'll do our full practice at 3 o'clock
mm-hmm.
or 2:30 or whatever it was.
Do you guys know whether you should warm up your car or not?
I have seen conflicting reports. I have seen that it's you should always heat it up even when it's like, you know, not even that cold out. And then I've seen like, oh, no, it's like the worst thing you can do is just leaving it running, idling.
Probably worth a phone call to Greg Damon. But what I have been seeing recently, and I saw an actual article on this from Popular Mechanics, is that if it's a modern car with modern oil, you probably don't need to warm it up for very long.
Not for performance reasons, but
right.
I mean, you can
for comfort.
Yeah, I mean, I do it for warmth in the winter and to get the AC going in the summer. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think these cars are going to crap out because of that.
Babying this new Jeep.
Yeah,
I'm averaging about 48 miles an hour on the highway.
Oh, come on, David wants to eat. Let it eat.
I don't know.
Let it eat.
She seems tepid.
They're built for that. The speedometer goes up to a lot because it can handle a lot.
I don't know.
You don't have to give it all of that. That's a bit much.
No, I was thinking, I have to get this off my... I've had this on my sheet like a week in a row. I dread cutting my toenails. I do it. I'm not working corn chips down there. I got normal toenails. But I hate doing it. It sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not real bendy. And unless I've missed something, the toenail tech has not changed since I was literally a kid.
Yeah, there might be, but I haven't seen it.
It's still the same old chompers.
Do you have the toenail one? Like the big one?
Yes.
Okay, I don't have those. I have to use the fingernail one.
How the hell do you do that?
It takes some work.
It takes a few days.
What?
Yeah, you know, you get halfway and then you stop.
Oh, I don't stop.
I just can't get it to go in my damn toenail. I'm like, missed.
Yeah.
Missed it. Kind of got it a little bit.
Yeah.
Clamped down. Ow, that was my skin.
Yep.
Terrible.
Not fun.
Stairway to Kevin?
Sure.
I'm sure it was about this anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I had toenails on here, but I'm going to take it off.
Big toenail.
I'm going to take it. I kind of wanted to get into the TikTok stunt because you have all of this nonsense. And we can go a little bit bigger than this, too, because I think there's a side thing that ties into this TikTok thing. So we all know there was a law passed saying that TikTok had to shut down unless it was sold to a North American buyer, a U.S. buyer, right? Because it's owned by a Chinese company. They're worried about too much influence from the Chinese government, political influence, gathering data, you name it. It's all been thrown into there. So they went through this big dog and pony show, TikTok did, of Saturday night. Well, we're shutting down. And on the thing, when you got the shutting down part, when you went in to say this is, or when you just turned on the app, because I went on there just to see, is it actually shutting down? Is it going to be like half working? And there was a message that said a law banning TikTok has been enacted in the U.S. Unfortunately, that means you can't use TikTok for now. We are fortunate that President Trump has indicated that he will work with us on a solution to reinstate TikTok once he takes office. Please stay tuned. So that was Saturday night. By Sunday morning, it was up and running again.
With another thank you to Trump.
Right. Which is, again, fine. But it's a day before he could actually do anything. Yeah. Which means the shutting down on Saturday night was a stunt.
Completely performative.
It had nothing to do with anything, because if you had to shut down Saturday night, you couldn't come back Sunday morning, because he didn't take office till today.
It didn't take a lot of prognostication. You don't have to be Nostradamus, but I was hanging with a friend over the weekend, and I said, they're going to shut it down, and they probably should, just to give all the freaks a real scare. You know, oh my God, it really can't shut down. But the whole, like, we're shutting down, but we have hope in Trump.
Yeah.
And then, oh, thank you to Trump. If and it has nothing to do with Trump. It could have been Kamala Harris. If TikTok were a person, they'd be a douche.
I just thought, again, the whole thing is performative, because there's nothing different about the law or the circumstances Sunday morning compared to Saturday night. Now, that takes me to the bigger thing. And honest to God, I want to be clear. This is not about Donald J. Trump. Because I've been complaining about this forever. I complained about it with Biden. I think this problem started in the 90s with Bill Clinton, and it's been getting worse ever since. It got worse with W. It got worse with Barack Obama. It got worse with Trump. It got worse with Biden, and now it's going to get worse with Trump again. And it is the idea of these executive orders trumping U.S. law. So this law that was put, I do not like this law. So I'm arguing against what I think should have happened.
Yes.
Because I don't think TikTok should have been banned without a better explanation of what specifically they're doing that they should be treated differently. But the legislative branch of the United States government passed a law that said this had to happen. The Supreme Court of the United States of America upheld that law. And with a stroke of a pen, one person can undo that. And I think that is the most un-American thing that we allow in the United States. And there, executive orders need to be reined in. And I don't care if it's Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack. I don't care. I don't care. One person should not be able to write an order that says, I am going to go over the heads of both the legislative branch and the judicial branch.
Do you think that's not being done because the other side knows, wait a couple, four
they're
years?
They're going to do it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's why it doesn't change. And I get why executive orders exist the way that they do, because you can't pass legislation of any meaning on a lot of issues, because nobody will ever get enough votes, right? Everything dies somewhere in the legislative process. But we got to fix that. You don't fix that by concentrating power in the executive branch. And again, this is not about Donald Trump. I don't care about him doing this. In fact, I agree that it shouldn't have been banned. But we have been way too cool with the executive branch gaining power over the last 30 or 40 years. We have been way too cool with letting that branch kick the other branches in the nuts whenever it feels like it. And that's not okay, and that will not lead to a good place. It doesn't mean that we're in imminent danger of the government falling, but every time we give more power to one of the branches mm-hmm. than the others. Every time we take away from judicial or from legislative, we are making it easier for someone at some point to go too far in the executive branch. It we have this design for a reason. There's a reason that the founding fathers did not imbue the president of the United States with the powers to create or destroy laws simply by waving their hand like a king would.
Imbue.
You like that?
He means it.
And this is not a partisan issue, and this is not a Donald J. Trump issue. It's just that this story now is reinforcing, and I it may go back before Bill Clinton. I wasn't really old enough to be paying attention, but from my understanding of it, it really started getting worse during the Clinton years. That was kind of like the kickoff, and then it's just been getting worse ever since, regardless of which party is in the White House. And we have to not be okay with that.
And I think we don't have to worry about the other two branches doing the same thing, because no one likes the legislative, and they're boring.
And there's too many of them.
And then the judicial, who the hell knows? You didn't have to worry about them much. Now you do, but there's not much you can do.
But they also, it's not one person.
True.
Right? I mean, I know it's not the same as the
number. They have their own internal checks and balances.
Sure. I mean, and you have an odd number. So, you know, you could get it where there's enough to go, rogue's probably extreme, but to go to a certain place. But they can only rule on what's brought to them. Right. They cannot enact anything. They cannot put anything into place. They can only react to what is put in front of them. And in Congress, you have hundreds and hundreds of people, and you've got representation that is generally close to 50-50. It's not exact. It's going to waver. You know, right now it's in Republican control, and it kind of goes back and forth a little bit in Congress. The House and the Senate both change a little here and there, but it's pretty close to 50-50. So there's the check and the balance there, which is why you cannot allow the executive, which comes down to the will of one person. It's more than one person that works in there, right? You have all the advisors, you got the cabinet, you got all that. But it's still one person who is the president. And we cannot give one person that kind of power. We were not designed that way.
I completely agree, and I completely understand what you're talking about. Do you think that people who have a lesser understanding of the checks and balances than you do, if you ask them, would be like, no, you give my president all the power that he can have?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would love to see interviews with people on that subject, because again, where we are now typically on most things is, if my team does it, it's okay, and if the other team does it, it's not okay. Like, we kind of fight on that level. That's kind of our, as far as we want to go. And at some point, if you keep going that direction, maybe that point is 100 years down the road. Maybe that point's 10 years down the road. Maybe it's 4. Maybe it's 200 years. But if you keep going down that path of granting an individual more and more powers outside of wartime, right? Because mm-hmm. the president mm-hmm. can have wartime powers that are above and beyond, but it's very specifically designed under certain circumstances with a full declaration of war that comes from Congress, then you have these special powers. Outside of that, you're not supposed to be able to just say, I'm going to do this, and just kick aside a law, write a new law, or again, go against what the Supreme Court just ruled on. They literally just ruled on this, what, a week ago?
but again, people in the government could appeal this. They could raise this issue and say, yeah, actually, what you're trying to do isn't the thing, because we made a law and you can't overturn a law with a pen.
Right.
Can't do it. But they're not, because like we said, they're going to do it next.
Well, this is the point. Right. So the people that are in Congress that are Republican that support Donald Trump, they don't want to, they're not going to undercut him.
Yeah.
Of course not. And the people that are Democrats are like, well, you know, in 4 years, there may be some stuff that we want our guy to do or yep. our woman to do, and that's why they're going to sit back and be quiet.
Did you see that Fetterman wore a hoodie and shorts to the inauguration?
Yes.
And not just shorts either. They were just gray gym shorts. I mean, look, I'm Captain Casual, man. I hate wearing anything, you know, beyond jeans and a T-shirt. But I think if I were in that job, I would at least wear like a polo and some jeans.
I've gone back and forth on him. I've developed a pretty good dislike.
Same. Yeah. Same. I'm kind of neutral on him as far as like, dislike. But on that part, I think, I mean, I get it. I'm full on. I hate the whole formality of everything. I think we overdo that. They shouldn't have to be suit and tie and looking like people. Hey, because, you know, 200 years ago, we thought that was an important look, so we're just going to keep doing it.
But you shouldn't dress like you're going to clean your basement.
Yes, exactly. Right. I mean, again, what would be wrong with a polo and jeans if you want to be comfortable?
And I tend to be this kind of person, and I know that this is judgmental, but we're all judgmental. At least I know the way I am judgmental, is when you, in my estimation, because that's all I have, is my own perception, which can be wrong. But when you are doing something that I feel like, oh, this guy's just doing this. Okay, but when it starts to become like, oh, you figured out that this is your thing, and yep, this is what people are going to, quote-unquote, reward you for, even if it's negative reward, people are going to give you attention for this, this is how they're going to know you. Like, if you're a senator, you shouldn't be known as the guy who wears hoodies. That's yeah, not what I would want to be known for.
And you shouldn't want to have a thing. Your thing should be being a senator. Your thing shouldn't be your bit that you're doing. And I know I sound biased because, you know, as somebody, somebody on the left, I guess you'll say, he ran a more progressive campaign. Once he got into office, he changed pretty much all of that and is now closer to a Republican than a Democrat in his in the way that he votes and in his rhetoric. And I hate that on both sides. I don't like either side of that. I don't like people who run on a platform and then change their tune once they're actually elected into office. And so that's just one of those things. Like I hate his guts. Like don't be that guy. Don't
you
do
know,
that.
Like I fully grasp the feeling that I don't want to wear a suit and tie to work. It's one of the small reasons why I don't work in an industry where that would be the expectation, right? But that's kind of the point. If you don't want to do that, then don't run for that job. Go get a different job. If you're capable of becoming a U.S. senator, you're capable of having all kinds of really good jobs. You're not a loser. You're not, you know, if you're able to pull that off, you can do another job that would allow you to wear sweatpants and a sweatshirt and be comfortable and still make a good living.
If I went back to being an attorney and I had to try a case and I showed up in a hoodie and shorts, I would be shown the door.
Right.
And probably held in contempt.
Yeah.
And if not, my client would have every reason in the world to fire me.
Yeah.
You're not showing respect for the court. You're not showing respect for yourself. You're not showing respect for the system.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about this.
Yeah. And again, I think there's a more respectful, well, there's just a middle ground, right? Again, I can identify with someone like the suit and tie thing is stupid. I think it's stupid too. But you're choosing the job. Right? You might say it's stupid that baseball players have to wear tight pants. But you're signing up for the job. You don't get to go wear like a tracksuit.
Here he goes with the tight pants thing again.
Yeah, who could complain
every
about that?
Every day we hear this.
See what happens if you put on the tracksuit. Nope, I want to leave my tracksuit on when I'm playing for the Cardinals this week. It's not going to happen. You got to wear the uniform or don't pursue the job.
I'm going to need you to stop exciting my producer, please.
I'm sorry, Andrew.
They have reanimated a dead pig brain.
Whoa.
They killed or watched a pig die and then let it let the brain just chill and cool off to the point they knew it was completely dead, and then quote unquote brought it back, and it turned it back to being pinkish and started making proteins again. And they said, we would not call it aware or sentient. We couldn't have communicated even simple things to this brain, but it was alive.
So the pig wasn't like, I saw heaven.
Oink, oink. Now I'm mad at you.
It was just a brain. It wasn't the whole pig.
You did, but that's how the brain talks. That's how the pig talks. I mean, it's the brain. So.
Now he's going to try to bring it back.
Yeah. I got to bring it back now. So.
You have no idea what you're about to say.
If they were able to do this to a person, then.
Yeah.
It really wouldn't change anything, though, because the brain didn't have any thoughts.
Well,
it was just able to make...
Yeah, but it's sort of like if your battery died, there's a difference between click, 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 and boogada, 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 oh, it almost turned over.
I see.
And so this is sort of like, we almost got it, we almost got it, we almost got it. We're making strides to turning a dead brain back on completely.
Yeah, we just don't know.
Which I'm not sure is a great thing.
Well, we don't know, right? I mean, we don't know what the cognitive abilities would be, whether the function would last, whether there's damage that you can't see. I mean, it's literally the exploration of the unknown, which, you know, I guess you kind of have to try, right? Like, figure it out.
Yeah. I've read Pet Sematary.
I still love Phoebe Glover's take on this. I want to rock and roll all night and part of every day. Just a part. Maybe a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the reasonable way to do it.
Maybe it's, after breakfast. I'm not sure.
Yeah. That's what I always loved about it, is that it's so reasonable, right?
Like, it's quite moderate.
It's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have all day to rock. I'm sorry. I got other things. I'm an adult.
Just a part.
Well, I have things to do.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not doing that during the day. You're rocking all night.
Yeah, all night's fine.
But then you got to party every day.
Part of every day.
Part of every
day. Yeah, no.
Rock and roll all night.
I get you.
Yeah. And part of every day. Because it's like, you got the whole night to yourself. That's fine. You do what you want.
Yeah.
But during the day, you got stuff to do, all right? You know, be an adult about it.
Dave Murray's here. Got the deep freeze, don't we?
Yes, we do. And it's hard to believe. Yeah, I mean, tomorrow's colder than today.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Five,
6 degrees.
Remind us what it should be, what the averages are.
Oh, this time of year, the average high should be in the upper 40s.
Oh,
this
man.
Time of year.
Jeez.
And the average low will be, you know, upper 20s.
But we typically get this at some point, though, right?
Yes. Yes, we really do. In fact, the winter forecast worked well in December. It has been thrown into the garbage in January.
Mm.
And that's very true. I can go back and look over the last 10, 15 years when I've been doing these things, that when a forecast goes bad, it goes in the toilet really bad.
And is January a unusually difficult month to predict?
No, not necessarily. But with that in mind, when we have a cold January like this, and we've had a fair amount of ice and snow, is that what I thought January would be, and then what February would turn into, which was going to be cold and snowy, I think we're seeing a flip. I think what I thought in February is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is going to happen in January has probably going to happen in February. So what I mean by all that, I think February is going to end up fairly warm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Knock on wood.
Helps us to get through January.
Yeah.
This is the, just perception again, this is the shortest amount of time I remember it being dark early. And I know it's the same every year thereabouts, but somehow this one, like Friday night, it was like 5:38. There was still like a palpable hue in the sky. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's really weird. Maybe that's a function of getting older.
Maybe.
But it does. Though, in contrast, I think that it appears to be staying darker in the morning longer.
Mm, that could be. That could be.
Dave, I have a very stupid question.
Nice.
Yeah. My specialty.
What time does the sun start to go down in California?
Why is that stupid?
Why is that stupid?
Well, because they're in a different time zone. So it's like,
well,
sunset at like 5:30, when are they?
No. Don't throw the time zone in here.
Okay.
Throw latitude, longitude in here. Southern California is more south than St. Louis.
Okay.
So things adjust accordingly. Right now, sun is coming up 6:55, and the sun is going down around, actually, I can tell you exactly, 5:12.
Okay.
So what part? Like,
so that would be like 7:12 here.
Well, yeah.
Yes, Andrew, that's how time zones work.
But I don't understand, like,
wow.
the yeah.
Okay, I've changed my mind. That was a stupid question.
So you guys, though, like, in terms of the Western time zone, how far west does it go? Does it go out into the ocean? Like,
Well, Hawaii is in a whole different time
zone. Right, but what I'm saying is you guys are kind of in the western part of the Western time zone, right? Like, as an example, like when I grew up in Michigan, we're Eastern time zone, but we were further west. So it wouldn't get dark until 9 o'clock, where maybe in New York it would be more like 8:30 or 8:40, because the sun is still crossing that zone. Even though you're in the same zone, as you pointed out, you're not at the same longitude.
Look, can I just make a point? Rachel is gone. We are wasting our damn time on this.
Clearly.
Stuff.
Yeah. Clearly.
We need to be all bathroom humor, wall to wall. We need some
talking.
D jokes here. We don't need time zones and such and GMTs.
Science.
Do you really not know what latitude and longitude is?
No, I know what they are. But I don't know why
it would matter.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why it matters. I don't know why SoCal being more south than we are changes the time that their sun goes down.
Look at it
this
way.
Not their sun, same sun.
The Arctic is totally dark now.
Right.
And in the summertime, it's almost totally light. So that's how all that works.
It's because we have the tilt.
The earth. Right. Tilt and the shape. Yeah. Yep.
So, continuing with stupid questions, at the equator, is the weather pretty, I know it's not stable day to day, like it never rains or whatever, but is it seasonally pretty stable?
I'm a firm believer that no matter where you live, there are four seasons to the year. Mm. They're very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, here in Southern California, we have four distinct seasons. It's not sunny and 70 every day of the year.
Yeah.
And Florida is the same way. Florida has distinct seasons. You just have to kind of become aware of them.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, except that like January, it just means it's 72 instead of 90.
Exactly. But yeah. That's a season. Right. That's the winter
right.
season.
Right. Now, that's still pretty decent distance away from the equator, right?
Sure.
So at the actual equator, is it going to be more the same? Like in South America, middle of Africa, where it crosses?
The weather along the equator is pretty much the same because hurricanes very rarely penetrate into that zone. They can, but you get thunderstorms. You get a lot of humidity, depending on where you are. So there's weather along the equator.
No, I just mean like average temperature, maybe the better way to put it.
Oh, yeah, it probably doesn't change a heck of a lot.
Okay. Hmm.
But there are seasons. There's still four seasons.
Right.
I was listening to a Sasquatch Chronicles, and it was a guy
from Australia. There we go. Get back to the guy stuff.
There we go.
No, it's still weather. It was from Australia, and the guy goes, in his Australian accent, which I don't do well, he's like, oh, yeah, and it was August. It was middle of winter. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
That is weird. I agree with it. It just seems so bizarre. Even at 71 years old, it's like, that still freaks me out.
Christmas is in the middle of the summer.
Yeah. Do we want to do an actual forecast or have we beaten
this
horse?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Because, tomorrow is sunny, but 12 for the high. We're like 19 today. Wind chills tonight, wind chills tomorrow, minus 5 to minus 10. So it's rough to be out there. Couple of clouds move back in Tuesday night. Temperatures don't change much. We're going to hang around 12. Wednesday, partly sunny, breezy, cold start, but 35 Wednesday afternoon. Couple of snow flurries around Wednesday night and Thursday as the winds turn to the south. Will be 36 on Thursday, but a lot of clouds around. Friday, sunny and 36. Saturday, sunny and 47. Sunday, clouds and about 40.
Okay. We'll do a couple headlines.
Yeah, we can do headlines.
Pressure's on, Andrew. Pressure's on.
Well, the thing is a lot of the headlines today are presidential based.
Right.
Like that's the big news of the day. Then President Biden on Monday morning pardoned Dr. Fauci, retired General Mark Milley, and members of the House committee that investigated the January 6th attack on the Capitol in an extraordinary use of the powers of the presidency in his final hours to guard against potential revenge by the incoming
Trump. Did he pardon Liz Cheney?
Yes.
I think she was one of them.
It was there were General Milley.
I've just
Liz
not heard
Cheney.
Her name.
Yeah, I think so.
This comes after Trump said that he had an enemies list filled with those who have crossed him or sought to hold him accountable for what happened in 2020. And so he intimated that he was going to try and punish the people who wronged him. And so Biden, I think maybe for like the first time ever, he pardoned people who have not
been accused of a crime?
Of any kind of wrongdoing yet.
Interesting.
Well, he did his whole family too.
And he got his whole family, the so-called Biden crime family.
Mm.
For fear that Trump would attempt to go after them in some way. And that I think is kind of the way I see it, that's the story of the day. I'm a lot more interested in that than anything that's going on in like the inauguration. I just think that's really interesting. I think it's an interesting thing to do. What do you guys think about it? Do you guys, especially the stuff about his family, right? Because it's not saying that they've done anything wrong, but it sure does kind of make you think like, well, why are you pardoning people if they haven't done anything wrong?
Well, we have to believe. This is why it gets all hairy, right? Because we can believe that, let's say you believe that the new administration is going to target the members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
There still has to be evidence of wrongdoing for any punishment to be handed out, unless your belief is they're going to make it up, that they're just going to make evidence and say it's there. And I don't know, man. I think what you're doing with this is you're feeding the monsters even more.
Yeah,
like you're feeding the people that have been spreading the conspiracy theories and all that even more. Like, see, we've been telling you, and now they're showing you that they believe it.
Well, I mean, it's a bit of chess Because sometimes in chess, you don't make a move so that your opponent will make a move, and it's a bad move. I think it would be a terrible move, and I think it would be observed as a terrible move by only the most radical MAGA people if he were to actually go after General Milley or Liz Cheney or Anthony Fauci. I don't think that would go over well at all. So if I were Biden, other than my own family, which he's obviously very concerned about, I don't think I would have done it because, yeah, dude, you want to go after him? Go ahead. You want to try and prosecute Liz Cheney? Knock yourself out. Not good for Liz Cheney, but probably good for your party.
It's a pretty stunning lack of faith in the incoming president that we don't normally see from an outgoing president. Like, obviously, they don't like each other. Obviously, they don't get along. They don't care for each other the way each other, you know, does things. But we've never seen one that's like so. I just don't feel like we've ever seen so blatantly like, hey, I think this guy's going to be a huge liar and make up a bunch of garbage and try and cause some people problems that they don't deserve. So I'm going to preemptively shut that down.
It's bigger than that. Because you're also expressing no faith in the systems that we have in place to guard against the government doing those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically saying, I don't have faith in our legal system to protect these citizens. Because again, unless you think there's something done wrong, then if you believed that the system would function properly, you would not have to worry about that, especially since we are talking about people who are public. Right. So if something's happening to them, it's not going to be like hidden away. It's not going to be off to the side. They're people with means, with powerful allies. Like, if you think all of that is going to be like innocent people with all of those advantages are going to be taken down, well, then you think this is way worse than anybody else thinks it is.
Well, like filing the articles of impeachment against Trump. Probably not a great idea on the part of the left.
Yeah.
It probably didn't serve them as well as it did Trump. Now, I'm sure Trump didn't enjoy that happening twice, but I think in the end, when the dust settled, it came out in his favor.
Yeah.
And I just think that the same thing would happen if he were to actually try to go after someone. So, got one more?
Yeah. Paul Abbott, the FBI's deputy director, has announced his sudden retirement. I believe it is Trump related. He doesn't like the incoming president. The expected replacement, he was the expected to replace Christopher Wray, who left, and Kash Patel is who Trump is appointing, but those are ongoing. That person has not actually been confirmed yet. So no one's leaving the FBI right now, basically, by the sound of it, because their two highest ranking people are gone. And the new person hasn't been appointed yet. I wonder if this means that they will, like, kind of rush through the confirmation.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's doing the job.
Yeah, someone's doing the job.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know who it is.
Right.
Fair enough.
Honestly, I'm sure they have a chain of command, not unlike politics. I'm sure there's a third in line, whatever.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
All right, quick break. Right back, DGS.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
3:51. Hope you guys are enjoying your day off. If you get the day off, we don't because we are in the union.
Yep.
We get to work a lot more. Every day but Christmas and New Year's. That's the SAG-AFTRA way. I always said, man, I want to be a union one of these days. Get all these sweet perks.
Yeah.
Like 20 holidays.
We should unionize our own union.
Within the union?
Yeah.
So that we can strike against SAG-AFTRA?
Yeah.
So we're not getting enough holidays?
Yeah.
Could do that. I have a story here that's going to make Wheels' head explode.
Oh,
just seems like the kind of thing that you'd hate. It's Blue Monday, the most depressing day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically, scientifically, statistically shows that this is the most depressing day of the year.
Based on what?
Let's see here. You are realizing that you're really facing down a whole nother year of work. Your motivation has hit rock bottom. Your New Year's resolutions have failed. Enough time has passed since Christmas that you've lost the good feelings, but now you have the letdown and the debt, bad weather, and short days.
No. I'm not trying to doubt it, but like, you're just asking people.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a poll.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it's not valid. I just wanted to see if there was like something more, right? Like they proved it with brainwave studies or whatever.
No brainwaves.
Okay.
No bringing a pig brain back.
Doesn't that ring true though?
Yeah.
Like I think a lot of
people
probably
pick any Monday in January or February.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Kevin Killeen had the big February, and I think it's a whole month of people feeling like that.
Mm-hmm.
Any cold Monday. You know what I mean? Because I think it's easier to feel that so-called SAD during the cold months.
Do we need a big holiday in the first quarter of the year? Like, do we need to invent one?
It's not a bad idea.
Because, you know, you're right, because Valentine's Day doesn't count. That was made up. And this would be made up, too. But
Valentine's Day is in the Bible.
Okay. But, like, you have the 4th of July in July, so you got your summer one. You got Halloween in the fall. You've got Thanksgiving in the fall, Christmas in the winter. New Year's is its own thing, too. But January, after New Year's Day, you got January, February, March, April. You have Easter, but that's only for people that are of a particular religious faith. It's not for everyone.
What if we made people have a Valentine?
What if we just had like, well, all right.
Like if you're not attached or you just got divorced or something, we match you with someone.
But maybe something that was really big where you get a couple days off in April.
Super Bowl.
Opening day. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You get opening day off in Major League Baseball for everybody. Presents. We got to do presents. Got to figure out our big meals.
Got to do presents.
You got to make it big, man.
What did you get me
for opening day? Something in the first quarter of the year. It's too far to wait for like Memorial Day and the 4th of July.
If we were in Turkey, we could celebrate the most popular sport in Turkey, Greece wrestling.
You guys don't celebrate Greece Wrestling Day?
I mean, it's not my number one.
Greece like Greco-Roman or Greece like
olive
just,
oil?
Oh, no, thank you.
Two men cover themselves in olive oil and win the match by pinning their opponent or lifting them up and carrying them 3 steps.
That's got to be so
hard. That's stuff they do on spring break at bars.
Three.
That's got to be so hard to lift up those Greece.
What's your move?
Dudes.
Are you going to try to pick a Greece guy up or are you going to try and pin him?
I'll try and
pick
him.
How many times have you been asked that this week?
I'll try and a couple times already. I mean, it's only Monday. I would try to go to do the under the leg and up in the crease and like pull up.
Hot.
Yeah. Couldn't think of a better word than crease. Wish I hadn't gone with crease. Couldn't think of a better word.
Yeah, I wish you'd gone with something other than crease.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew's like, don't be
really wish you'd gone with something other than crease.
Like, I'm going to check the oil.
Look, I said it and I got to own it, unfortunately.
Coach, I'm going for his greasy creech, okay?
Creech.
It's in between crotch and crease.
Oh, I got you.
He's right in the creech.
Going for the gooch.
I don't think you can say that one.
Well, it's the bad guy on Different Strokes. That was the bully.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's what that is?
Arnold would come home all the time. Okay. The gooch is threatening to beat him up.
Don't say it again.
What's his name? I think they even showed him on a later episode.
I would stop talking, but I mean, you can keep going.
I mean, it's there. It's part of the lore of Different Strokes.
Yeah, like 18 words ago, when I probably cut that.
We were all very concerned about the lore of Different Strokes.
It's canon. It's canon.
It is on the DGS now.
Yes, it is.